Welcome to Agent of Wealth Podcast with Mark Bowdus from Bowdus Financial. In this podcast, Mark helps small business owners and retirees overcome the multiple wealth planning challenges involved in your financial life. We do this by creating comprehensive wealth management plans to guide you towards financial freedom, ensure you never run out of money, and help create a balance in life that prioritizes what is most important to you. Join us for this journey as Mark draws from years of expertise and guest experts to solve the multiple wealth planning issues involved in your financial life.
Hello and welcome to the Agent of Wealth with Mark Bowdus of Bowdus Financial. Today we're going to be starting a series that's going to be four or five podcasts, and the entire series is entitled Financial Workshop Series, and it's based on financial workshops that Mark and his team put on around the local area. Today's podcast is titled Maximizing Your Social Security. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I know that I already kind of explained that it's based on workshops that you do around the area. Are each one of these podcasts a separate workshop, or how does that work?
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to, the next four or five podcast episodes, we're going to correlate them to different workshops that we're giving at local libraries in North Jersey, or as well as online through different webinars. So we have the topics of, and today's will be about Social Security. We're also going to give a podcast and workshops about Medicare, caregiving, college planning, and cybersecurity.
Mark, how did you pick these topics specifically?
So we wanted to pick topics that are relevant, but also ones that are hard to find information on. You know, you can do any Google search and find how to invest a portfolio or how to do this financial planning topic. But some of the ones we picked are definitely ones that people are going through right now and are having trouble finding the best information for it. For example, I recently saw an article in the USA Today that said there are currently 40 million Americans who work as an unpaid family caregiver.
That's got to be incredibly difficult. I mean, there's the relationship there. There's all sorts of mental stress, I would think, and physical stress, depending on what the disability is, the emotions that they have to face. I'm sure it can be very overwhelming.
Yeah, it's definitely overwhelming. And, you know, just to, as an example, that's the goal of our caregiving workshop is to help people put together a caregiving plan. And there's a lot more that goes into it than you would think. Social Security is also a relevant topic, and it's the topic of today's show.
Yeah, I mean, Social Security is on the forefront right now because of the baby boomers. I think there's a stat out there that 10,000 people a day are retiring, which means 10,000 people a day are probably aging into, or close to 10,000 are aging into, needing some sort of assistance at some point.
Yeah, it's another topic that's everyone goes through. You know, whether you're, you know, as soon as you turn 62, you're eligible to start receiving benefits. Mm-hmm. It's also another topic that's hard to get information from. You can go or contact your local Social Security office, but they're programmed to provide specific pieces of information and really can't help you strategize on what's best to do. And by not making or not having the information to make the optimal decision when to start collecting, you can leave tens or even hundreds of thousands of dollars on the table.
Yeah, it's definitely incredibly important to talk about. So let's get into it. What do you cover in the workshop itself?
Okay, so we cover the basics of Social Security, as well as what the five most common questions or areas that people going into retirement have questions about. And, you know, we have about 10 of these workshops scheduled for this year. I've also been given the Social Security workshop for probably about 5 or 6 years, and I've done 30 of them. And the same type of questions always come up. And I think there's a lot of misunderstandings that go on with Social Security.
Well, I'm sure they also change the rules on Social Security every once in a while, too. So I know that you do a lot of study and you keep yourself informed of that. But how confusing can it be for us? I mean, if we're not in the industry and we're not constantly keeping our finger on the pulse of it, you never know when it's going to change.
Yeah. And I think there were some big changes made in 2016 that really impacted some of the strategies that people were using. So yeah, you're right. It's a constantly evolving, just like a lot of things in the financial industry. And, you know, keeping your finger on the pulse of it is important. And I think one of the misunderstandings are how good of a benefit Social Security is. It's one of the few income sources that you can't outlive. So everyone loves a pension, loves an annuity, you know, those types of things where if you live to 120 years old, it will continue paying you. And depending on what your benefit is or how and how long you live, your benefits can be well over $1 million.
Wow. And that's the biggest thing is that, like you said, everybody loves a pension, but how many pensions do we see these days? They're just, it's a dying breed, if you will.
Yeah, pensions are going the way of the dinosaur. So any type of income stream you can have that's guaranteed to last as long as you live is definitely a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the second really great benefit of Social Security is that it offers inflation adjustments. So, you know, everyone thinks they go into retirement and think, okay, my monthly spending is this, but they don't really calculate that in 10 years and 20 years, because the price of everything goes up, they're going to have to adjust for that or take that into account with how much money they'll need.
Yeah. Now you said it adjusts, but does it adjust along with the cost of living or not?
So it does. So that is one of the benefits of Social Security is that it does adjust it does have a cost of living adjustment. And every year there's a calculation that's done where it takes a basket of prices that consumers purchase for things. And it looks in it, and then it makes a determination of whether the benefits that everyone receives should increase as well.
Nice.
Yeah. So if for as an example, so if someone starts out receiving $2,000 per month in Social Security benefits and the cost of living adjustments are 2.6% per year, in 10 years, they'll receive over $2,500 per month. And then in 20 years, their benefit will be about $3,300 per month. So you can see it can rise significantly over time.
Yeah, that's nice. I mean, because again, I remember getting like one-page reports you could order. I mean, this is dating myself, but they would send them to you in the mail, actual real mail. But you could order these reports of the day of your birth. Here's how much bread costs. Here's how much gasoline was. Here's how much, you know, this, that, and the other thing was. And it was always an interesting snapshot. And I remember my dad telling me that, you know, when he would have a quarter a week for an allowance, he could take the bus down here. He'd get the bus back. He'd be able to pay for a movie. He'd be able to pay for an ice cream cone and a popcorn. I'm like, man, I mean, 25 cents for all that. I mean, that's fantastic. But, you know, that was back in the 40s and 50s. So, yeah, everything is going to rise. So it's nice to hear that Social Security goes with it.
Yeah. And inflation can definitely be a killer. So, yeah, the cost of living adjustment is definitely a good benefit for it.
Great.
And, you know, segueing into the specific areas that I think a lot of people have questions on. And the first one is everyone wants to know, will the benefit be there for them? Mm-hmm. You know, the media likes to play up that the Social Security Trust Fund is running out of money and it's not going to be there. And it's just a system of IOUs. And, you know, I think, you know, we do want to look at and see, I think, take the health of Social Security. But it's a lot of misunderstanding and irrational fears about the solvency of the system. So every year, the trustees produce a comprehensive report about the long-range outlook of Social Security. And the way it works is that the whole system works is payroll taxes from current workers go into a trust and are immediately paid out to the current retirees. So right now in that trust fund, there's about $2.9 trillion. And what the government does is they invest that in these special treasury instruments. Now, what's going to happen is as baby boomers start retiring, there won't be enough collected through payroll taxes to fully cover 100% of the benefits that need to be paid out. So the cost of benefits begin to exceed the income that Social Security collects as part of the payroll taxes. Mm-hmm. So the calculation right now is that Social Security will be able to pay 100% of its promised benefits until 2034. Now, after that, if nothing is done to reform the system, the income will only be sufficient to cover about 79% of its promised benefits. Mm-hmm. So we want to look at, okay, what are the reforms being discussed and what are the chances of any of these going through? So the first one that's being looked at is increasing the maximum earnings subject to Social Security tax. So the way that works is in anyone's payroll tax or anyone's paycheck, their Social Security, they're taxed and money comes out. If you look on your W-2 or your pay stub, it's the FICA tax. Mm-hmm. And everyone is taxed up to $132,900 in 2019. So if you earn over that amount, you're not getting hit with Social Security tax. So one of the reforms is raising that number, the 132,000, up to, you know, some higher number where more tax is collected. Mm-hmm. The second one is to raise the normal retirement age. So I mentioned earlier that you can start collecting at age 62, but your actual full retirement age, it's either 66 or 67, depending upon when you're born. Mm-hmm. So one of the simple ones is just the, you know, Social Security coming out and saying, well, you can't collect until this age, maybe 70, you can't start collecting. And then that just limits the number of years that they would have to pay out. Mm-hmm. And then the last two options are really lowering the benefits. So of future retirees. So they might, you know, have a calculation where it says, okay, based on your earnings, you're scheduled to receive this much per month, and they might just reduce it. Or they might reduce that cost of living adjustment. So that, you know, we talked about how great of a feature that is of Social Security. One option they may do is look at reducing that. But I think a lot of the reforms that they're talking about will have very little impact on baby boomers retiring now or in the next 5, maybe 10 years. You know, people retiring after that, then I think some of these reforms definitely will impact them. But for now, I think baby boomers, it's not something that they should have to worry about.
Yeah. And one thing that I've discussed with other folks about this specifically is, if you really think about it, the politicians that are in office now, the politicians that are going to be in office the next 10, 15, 20 years, as this is becoming more and more of an issue, they want to get reelected. And with such a large base of senior citizens, and they are the ones that vote the most, when they see that their Social Security could possibly be affected, I'm pretty sure the politicians are going to come together pretty quickly to fix it so that their voter base is happy with them. I don't think they're going to let it fail by any means.
Yeah, re-election is definitely a big motivation for politicians. So interestingly enough, Social Security has been a topic that's been out there for a while. And in some cases, the politicians haven't wanted to touch it. But it's definitely something that at some point there's going to be a tipping point, and the reform will need to address it. And, you know, and like I said, I think people who are retired now, people who are about to retire, the reforms will have very little impact on them.
Yeah. What's the second question you get most?
So the next question is, there's a lot of misunderstanding on, you know, how much someone will receive for Social Security. Social Security used to send out this green statement in the mail, which they've gone back and forth between sending in the mail to forcing people to retrieve it online. But it basically spits out a number and says, if you retire at this age, your benefit is this. If you retire at this age, your benefit is that. And really, there's very little transparency into how they come up with that number. And what it does is, it depends on how much income you've earned over your working years and the age at which you apply for benefits. Mm. So the way the formula works is, Social Security looks at your annual earnings over your lifetime, indexes them for inflation, and then picks the 35 highest years to include in their formula. And what happens is, if you don't have 35 years of work history, the missing years are filled in with zeros. Mm. So one of the strategies, if you don't have 35 years, is working an extra couple of years so that, you know, you really boost up that average. But after those highest 35 years are calculated, a formula is applied to them, and your primary insurance amount is determined. And that's the primary insurance amount is the actual monthly benefit that you'll receive at your full retirement age. And what a lot of people don't realize is, if you apply early for benefits, like I said, you can start applying at 62, even if your full retirement age is 66, you only receive a lesser percentage of your primary insurance amount. So it's actually, if you do, you know, the first time you're able to apply at 62, if you do start collecting then, you'll only receive 75% of the amount that you would have received if you waited until age 66.
Mm, yeah, that's a big difference.
Yeah. Now, on the flip side, you also have the ability to delay taking benefits after your full retirement age. So if we look at that same example where someone's full retirement age is 66, for every year that they delay collecting after age 66 up to age 70, they can receive a larger benefit by 8% per year. So that's a, you know, Social Security is really incentivizing you to delay collecting. And, you know, they're doing that by giving you an 8% larger benefit each year that you delay. And, you know, when you look at alternatives and, you know, you want to look at, okay, what, where else can I get an 8% return or gain? And there's not that many things out there. So it is definitely something, you know, a strategy is to delay collecting, you know, so that you do have that larger benefit.
Yeah, no, that's great.
And, you know, for, like I said, they used to send out the green statements. They don't send them out anymore. So a lot of people don't even know what their benefit is. And you can go to socialsecurity.gov, and it's very easy to create an account, download your statement. And, you know, I would recommend that as a first step to trying to figure out where you are and some of the strategies we'll talk about next. Really, you know, you do want to know where you're starting out with them.
There is one thing I do want to add to this piece is when you go there, they're going to ask questions to so that you can verify your identity. Make sure that you have a lot of your financial information in front of you so that you can answer those questions, or else it will lock you out for 24 hours. It happened to me because my wife and I leased a minivan, which is a terrible idea, terrible idea. But we leased a minivan years and years and years ago. And one of the questions it brought to me was, what company was the lease held under? I had no idea. And it was multiple choice. And I felt like I was back in high school. I picked the wrong one and said, yeah, we're not sure if it's you. You can try again in 24 hours. So just make sure you have some of that information in front of you so you can answer those verification questions. And then you can download your document.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. And, you know, kind of segueing, once you get your document, the next question to look at or area to look at is, when should someone apply for benefits? You know, it's one of the most important questions related to Social Security. However, it's also one of the most complicated ones because, you know, we can do all the number crunching and figure out, okay, if, you know, you start collecting at this age and, you know, we didn't even touch on spousal benefits, but how you can coordinate spousal benefits with your own benefit. But there are other things that go into making that decision on when to apply. And, you know, a lot of these factors are unique to your own situation. And these include things like that, your health status and life expectancy. So, you know, the break-even point for Social Security is about 78 years old. That means if you live longer than 78, it would have made sense to delay collecting your benefit. However, if you die before 78, it would have made sense to collect as soon as you can. The other thing that's important is need for income. You know, we all would like to wait and collect the highest benefit possible. However, you know, some of us may need that income, you know, as soon as we can get to it. And that would be at age 62. The other thing that's important is whether or not you plan to work. Another topic I get a lot of questions on is the Social Security earnings test, which is something that Social Security enforces where if you're still working and you collect benefits before your full retirement age, they withhold some of those benefits depending upon how much income you earn. So you definitely do want to coordinate your work, you know, after you turn 62, you do want to look at what's your plan for working and then correlate that to when you plan to start collecting Social Security benefits.
Mark, let me ask you a quick question on this. From what I've heard, they actually calculate it on a monthly basis. Is that correct? So even if you waited 4 months or 6 months, instead of having to wait that entire year, it will increase your benefit, correct?
That's correct. Yeah. So almost everything with Social Security is calculated on a monthly basis. You don't have to, it's not like you have to wait a specific, you know, a full year. You can make that decision. You can wait, you know, every month that you wait or delay, there is an added benefit for doing that. Nice. So yes, it is on a monthly basis.
That's good.
The other thing to consider is survivor needs. So the way survivor benefits work is if one spouse passes away, the surviving spouse does not get to keep both Social Security benefits. They get to keep the bigger one. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it may make sense for the higher earning spouse to delay collecting for as long as possible. So that way the surviving spouse has the biggest or largest benefit that they can have. Mm-hmm. And there are some key points to remember about when someone should start applying. So if you do apply early, your benefits started out at some fraction of your, you know, your full retirement age amount, and they remain that percentage for the rest of your life. It doesn't go up to 100%, you know, back to 100 once you hit your full retirement age. So you're kind of, once you flip that switch, you're stuck with, you know, that decision. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is the cost of living adjustments magnify the impact of either, you know, collecting early or delaying collecting, because the annual cost of living adjustments apply to either the lower or the higher amount. And this causes the disparity to increase or decrease with each passing year. So you definitely do want to look at the cost of living adjustments and how they would impact you if you collected early or if you delayed collecting.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense.
Yeah. So segueing into the fourth question, and you know, we looked at when should someone apply. Now the next question is, how can someone maximize their benefits? So the first one, the first strategy is you definitely want to, you know, download that statement we talked about. Look at your earnings record. So what it'll do is on that statement, it'll list a year by year earnings record that Social Security has for you. So you want to, one, you want to make sure it's accurate. Is it missing any years? And, you know, this can especially come true if you own a small business or work in a small business. You know, larger businesses, their payrolls is in sync a little better. Sometimes you'll see more errors, you know, how the small business info gets published up to the Social Security office. And then you also want to look at, can it be improved by working longer? So, you know, we touched upon earlier about, you know, you may have some missing years, or you may be able to bring your average up. A lot of people's highest income earning years are towards the end of their career, mm-hmm, in their 50s, mm-hmm, 60s. So you may be able to improve your earnings by working a couple years later. But, you know, you have to look at that, you know, in context of everything else going on with your retirement.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the second strategy is applying for the benefits at the optimal time. And we've made the case for delaying benefits because that'll most likely result in the highest lifetime amount that you collect. But there's no one size fits all. You really have to look at, you know, everything going on and when does it make sense to collect. And the third strategy is you want to coordinate spousal benefits. So we didn't talk about spousal benefits, but the way Social Security offers them is a spouse is allowed to collect either their own benefit or 50% of their spouse's benefit if it's higher. So the spouse, you know, for spousal benefits, the spouse has to look at where can I get the most money from Social Security? Is it collecting on their own benefit or is it collecting a spousal benefit on their husband's record?
Gotcha. So in other words, let's say a family had three or four kids, mom was a stay-at-home mom for most of those years and, you know, worked part-time here and there. And then once the kids were out of the picture, out of the house, she decided to re-enter the workforce and then she works, but she's going to have way less earning years out of those 35. Plus obviously the income is going to be way less than her husband's because he's been working all, you know, those 18, 20, 24 years while she was taking care of the kids and being a stay-at-home mom. So it would make sense for her to take, you know, have 50% of his as opposed to, you know, her own, which may not be very high at that point.
Yeah, that's correct. So yeah, in a case like that, and you see those a lot less, probably more less now than you've probably seen them in the past, but yes, collecting 50% of their spouse's benefit is probably going to be more than their own benefit.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's a great option.
Yeah. And the fourth strategy is to minimize the taxation of your benefits. And a common misconception about Social Security is that there's no tax on it. And the way Social Security benefits get taxed is that they're lumped into a pile with your other income. And depending upon how much that income is, up to 85% of your Social Security benefits may be taxable. And that doesn't mean they're going to tax them. Your benefit's going to be taxed at 85% tax rate. It just means that you may have to pay ordinary income tax on up to 85% mm-hmm. of the benefit.
Got it.
So you want to look at, is there other income that you can lower, or, you know, and that way that pile that gets calculated on is not as high. You also want to look at your IRA distributions, which may bump you up into a higher tax bracket. So the sequence that you take money out of your accounts or your portfolio or your assets definitely does have a bearing on how much of your Social Security will be taxed. You also want to look at, does it make sense to convert some of your regular traditional IRAs or 401ks into a Roth IRA where there are no required minimum distributions? So in that case, it doesn't add income to your, you know, it doesn't add taxable income, nor, you know, and doing that, it wouldn't potentially bump you up into a higher tax bracket. So that's another area where you want to look at where potentially it may make sense to do a Roth conversion. Hmm. And the fifth strategy is that you want to coordinate Social Security with your overall retirement income plan. And, you know, you may have pensions, you may have IRAs, 401ks, regular savings account, rental, real estate property. And, you know, you want to put a plan together that really makes, you know, has all of those assets working together to produce your paycheck. And, you know, you want to look at what's the optimal, where's the optimal place to pull from each year. And, you know, in the beginning, it may make sense to take money from a non-retirement account where you're not having to pay tax on it. And then, you know, as you get older, as you hit your required minimum distributions, you may start having to pull money from different IRAs or 401ks. But, you know, everything should be, you know, your plan should really take everything into account, including your working. You know, some people, you know, I've talked to a lot of people that say, I have no plan for stopping working. And sometimes there's an involuntary reason that someone needs to stop. But you also want to look at, you know, what income am I going to be generating from work in retirement? And some people do stop their full-time job. Maybe they go into something part-time, but everything should be looked at together. And, you know, it's easy, you know, retirement income planning, and all of this is easy when you're just, you know, stashing money away, a part of your salary into a 401k or an IRA. But when that time comes to convert everything into an income stream, you want to make sure it doesn't run out. So, you know, it seems like it may be a simple decision on what, you know, when to start collecting or what to do with Social Security, but you really should take the time to evaluate your different options and figuring out how to maximize the benefit that you receive.
Yeah, there's a lot to know. And so I encourage everybody to seek out some help with this. This is not something you want to tackle alone, because there are strategies that you just don't even know about. You don't know because you're not in this field, and that's what Mark does. So I would encourage you to reach out. What else do we cover today, Mark?
Yeah, so we covered a lot in today's show. And like you said, there are probably a lot of questions, you know, around things like, when should you apply? What if you keep working? What if you've already applied? Is there anything that you can do to improve your situation? Mm. You know, how much your benefit will be? How do I coordinate spousal benefits? What do I do next? It could be as simple as that. And I'd be happy to answer any of those questions. You can send me an email through the contact us page at BoutisFinancial.com, or my email address is mark@BoutisFinancial.com. And you can see a list of workshops or webinars that we have coming up by going to BoutisFinancial.com/workshops. And we'll also do a recording of any of our in-person workshops. So if you're not in the New Jersey area and you do want to see them, they'll be on our website as well.
That's awesome. I appreciate that. That's great. Thank you so much for your time today, Mark.
Thanks, Ark.
All right. Thank you all for listening to the Agent of Wealth podcast with Mark Boutis. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Mark comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. Again, thanks for listening today. For everyone at Boutis Financial, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Agent of Wealth podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Boutis Financial. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment and financial planning.